In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
You can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper.
And you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. What's up? What are you guys doing out there?
Oh, just sports. You know.
I do know.
There's so much. I mean, we could do 4 shows based on what happened over the weekend.
Yeah, we could.
There was so much. I mean, from.
We might.
The Florida State collapse, the USC game, LSU, Notre Dame. You know, we got our first look at the Trent Bray era at Oregon State. I mean,
it's all in the notes there.
Dave Dan Bartu doing it again, yeah. Calling his shot with
look
Vandy.
Look at Dave,
dude. That guy nailed it with Vandy on the money line at 4-1. That was very nice. Additionally, on his Patreon out there, he gave out 3 underdog picks with the points. They all hit.
What a badass.
Yeah. Dave Bartu.
Lane Kiffin.
So much.
We will get into the college football week 1 onesie, which will include a lot of what you just discussed. But did you systematically talk Oregon fan back from the ledge? Did you do that?
I tried. I mean, we could honestly go drive by drive if you want to.
We don't need to do that.
No. But that's my point is you can literally, I mean, I kind of did that.
Come on. You know you want it.
No, well, I don't.
I mean, I just, I literally
if I wanted
did.
That, I'd listen to the post-game show.
I just pulled up, hey, I pulled up the game, and I went drive-by-drive, and...
Wait, you're on the post-game show?
I host the post-game show.
Oh.
Way to pay attention.
Well, I would love to hear you, but I don't want to hear the drive-by-drive breakdown. Jesus.
We didn't really do a drive-by-drive breakdown, but I digress.
Do you take calls?
We take texts.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
You should take calls.
A lot of people freaking out, I'm assuming.
Yeah, a lot of people were hypercritical of either Lanning, individual players. Well,
what I don't get is the hype, the Dylan Gabriel stuff. Like, I don't know what you, I mean, God, he completed 83% of his passes for almost 400 yards. I guess if you want to say that he should have been taking more shots downfield, again, he completed 83% of his passes. And if a team is playing a shell look against you, it is upon the run game to get you out of that and to take shots. I mean, he took one shot downfield, and he missed it by half a yard to Stewart, and it could have been a touchdown. So I just don't get that. That's the one. And the defense was rock solid. So like I said, I'm not here to make excuses. I don't have a dog in the fight. Dude, if they suck, I'll be the first one to tell you they suck. I think from center to the right tackle played a very, very poor game. If you want to say what went wrong in that game, I'll do that. It's just and I'm not saying those guys are bad players because again, 2 of those guys, one of them is an All-American, the other one was a freshman All-American last year. The center, local kid out of Jesuit. I don't know if he Pickard. I don't know if he's going to be the starting center going forward, but I don't think he played terrible. Just those 3 guys as a unit struggled. They struggled in the run game. They struggled in the pass game. Outside of that. It's a lot of just dumb self-inflicted penalties
and
little things.
It was just weird.
Dominated that game. So if you're sitting there saying that you're mashing the panic button or that Oregon is overrated and all that, you may turn out to be right. Boise State is going to be a much stiffer test. And if you lose to Boise State, I'll be the first one to come on here and be like, man, You did all that crap at Big Ten Media Day and all the hype, and you were one of the most talked about teams in the country, and you fell flat on your face. And that's an embarrassment. But to say that that's going to happen because of that Idaho game, you've gone a bridge too far. Yeah. You're just, at that point, you're letting emotions take over, and you're trying to make a mountain out of a molehill and wait and see if the mountain actually appears. Because Boise will give you a good idea. It's a good team.
I agree with everything you just said. So we'll put that to bed.
Someone said, Sook didn't help. I'm still jumpy.
Oh, don't jump. God, it's one game. By the way, do you think that the Boise game is tougher than the Oregon State game?
It's tough to say because I didn't learn anything from Oregon State other than in the second half against a really bad team, dude, turn around and run the ball.
Well, Boise gave up 45 if you didn't see.
Yeah, they also
scored 56.
They did.
Just have a really, really elite back. But Idaho's defense isn't any good either. And, you know, they contained you. Look, I'll say at this point, I think Boise State and Oregon State, I think those are similar tests. How about that?
By the way, Isaac, you were saying earlier the big school, small school matchups that used to be kind of close.
Yeah.
Harley in the YouTube chat telling us that on this date 8 years ago, Eastern Washington beat Washington State. It was the 45-42.
That was Mike Leach.
Cooper Kupp had 12 catches for 206 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah. Ooh, damn.
So, honestly, I'd still say Oregon State because you've got the rivalry factor.
Well, my.
Look, the Boise State team is still a Mountain West talent team, and I know Oregon State lost a lot. By the way, a couple of those guys were running around USC's defense, which looked really good. You know, they got 6 new players, 2 of them from Oregon State. They look good. Oregon State still largely is Pac-12 talent, and Boise is still largely, well, all Mountain West talent. So I'm still going to say Oregon State, tougher test, but Boise State possibly with the better player. I mean, Dan Lanning called Ashton Gentry the best back he's seen. Said he's an NFL guy. And, you know, what we saw out of week one certainly looked the part. So the nice part is for Oregon, the side of the ball that Boise State should scare you, the defensive side of the ball with Oregon, you played lights out. I mean, outside of a couple trick plays, dude, Idaho got nothing on you. So that should make you feel good that Boise State, at least through week one, appears to have a really good offense and a terrible defense. That kind of plays into your strength if you're Oregon.
All right, so let's get to the onesie. We'll start with USC. They are the third Big Ten team to beat a ranked SEC team in the regular season since 2000. Ooh.
Which still sounds weird.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it is. USC. I was just going to, I didn't want to interrupt, but just hearing you say that they're the third Big Ten team. What?
But hey, I want to give credit because I thought, to me, the biggest and most important win of the weekend was USC. So for a guy that's taken a lot of crap and a program that's taken a lot of crap, I got to put my hat back on because I took it off. That is a tip of the cap.
Oh, nice.
To USC.
For those of you listening on radio,
yeah,
he just tipped his cap.
Yeah, tip of the cap.
Well, the Pac-12 can never win a game like that until they become members of the Big Ten.
Then you're in the Big Ten!
Isn't that interesting? The second they go to the Big Ten, they look really good and beat LSU.
Rough and tumble.
All right, we'll get to that starting our college football week one onesie next on The Fan. My USC Trojans look good. That was a fun game to watch on Sunday.
Yeah, it was.
And best game of the weekend, I think.
Yeah, I think the one I enjoyed most was Clemson, just because of how I feel about Dabo. But that was the best game, and it was a game that USC really needed. You know, when Lincoln Riley came to SC, there was this like, oh my God, look out! And you know, it hasn't been a failure. I mean, my God, you played for a Pac-12 title the first year, you won a Heisman Trophy. Last year, you kind of fell on your face, but it was like people were writing off Lincoln Riley. That guy's never had a bad offense in his life, and you just. You know, your defense was an absolute sieve. And so you go out, you pound the transfer portal, you go hire one of the young up-and-coming defensive coordinators in the country from your rival, by the way. Now you're entering the Big Ten, and no one gives you any sort of respect in the Big Ten. We talk about how difficult your schedule is. We think you're going to get rolled by LSU, the mighty SEC. And not only do you win, but you don't and this is going to sound funny, but I think this is a much more impressive win than if this was 56-52. 27-20. And getting stops at the end, getting punts, holding them to a field goal. I mean, and you even saw the frustration in Brian Kelly's pounding the table afterwards. I mean, I give USC a lot of credit. That's a big time game and, you know, neutral field. I know it was towards the West, but that's a neutral field game. It's not at home. I just, that is a huge win for that program. And I don't even think it's close. That's the biggest win of Lincoln Riley's time at USC. It's one of the biggest USC wins we've had in years.
Yeah, the thing about that game was Miller Moss, is that his name? The quarterback. He looked good.
Yep.
But their defense was really sound.
Yes.
Like they just looked completely different defensively.
Yep.
And much better coached.
Yes.
I mean, it's just night and day.
Well, and
so that's encouraging.
And that was one of those where, you know, there was talk about can Lincoln Riley, can he have a good defense? You know, even at Oklahoma, that was always the view, is they weren't, ever an elite defensive team. And so it was the idea of like, is that something wrong with Lincoln Riley? But when he gave it over to De'Anthony Lynn, who's Anthony Lynn's kid, who was the UCLA defensive coordinator, supposedly he basically gave him a blank slate and said, you tell me what you need. We need to change the way we practice. You need to be more physical. You need more live time. What do you need? I am going hands off. And by the way, it kind of felt like Mario Cristobal had a little bit of that on the offensive side of things at Miami. Sometimes it's hard for coaches to let go, right? Defensive coaches or offensive coaches to let go of the other side of the ball. Well, I'll be damned. Maybe the USC finally and it just got Lincoln Riley to be like, we can't do this. And you turn it over to a young defensive coordinator. You went out and got a bunch of new guys, again, including the Arnold brothers. And that looked like a really good, solid USC defense. And that LSU offense is good. Nussmeier is good. Two NFL bookend tackles, including maybe one of the, some people think is the best one in college football. NFL wide receivers. And you held them to 20 points. That's the win of the weekend if you're USC. And by the way, despite their schedule, might remind some people in the Big Ten, you know, Penn State and Ohio State and Oregon, but let's not forget that a couple years ago, we were talking about USC as being back. And maybe now USC just put some people on the map and they got Idaho State this week, whatever. And then they're on the road at Michigan, who did not look great in week one, too. Boy, I got that one circled.
Because see, I think they play Utah State this week.
Yeah, they do. They got, that's what I said. They got Utah State this year.
I think you said Idaho, but.
Oh, sorry. They got Utah State at home and then they're on the road to Michigan. Boy, I got that one circled, because if you beat LSU on a neutral field and then you go get Michigan at their place, buckle up. Look out. That is, now we've got something cooking there in the Big Ten.
Would you like to hear Brian Kelly be a little bitch?
Oh, yeah. He was all kinds of.
God, he's such a little baby.
He is so unlikable.
Here was Brian Kelly after the game.
When you talk about football teams and what you expect from them, you expect personal accountability to each other, and doing that on a day-to-day basis. This is one of the most accountable football teams that I have seen in my time as a head football coach going on 33 years. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to win the national championship. I'm sorry.
What is
But this? I will tell you, those are great things.
Yeah, I don't know what
that's not. Championship teams.
That is not.
No,
that's not. What
oh,
we want.
Hold on.
There's a clip where he's all kinds of pissed about.
Yeah, that's the wrong. Yeah, that's still Brian Kelly. It's, I got that one. Hold on.
Yeah, it's Brian Kelly being Brian Kelly. He's bitching and slamming.
Well,
tables.
It's like, this is why I like Lanning. It's like, you know, look, that was really frustrating for Oregon.
Yep.
And then we heard a little bit of what Lanning said to them after the game, and it's like, you know, it's not all that easy, I would imagine, to keep coming up with new and creative ways to motivate, and be positive, and inspire, right? Lanning seems to do that. Guys like Brian Kelly, and there are a million of them in coaching, they're all just, they're one-trick ponies. All they know how to do is degrade and denigrate, and if you want to play here, you need to be better, and it's always somebody else's fault, and it's just...
And then at the end of being an ass...
It gets so old.
And then at the end of being an ass, they'll throw one of these. Well, no, it's on me. I got to coach him better, a.k.a. I just got to yell and scream more. Like, USC, that was a hell of a game against two really good teams, and USC made a play at the end of the game, and you didn't. But somehow, that means that your team is soft, and they're a bunch of candy asses. I'm with you. He drives me... I'm just not a fan. He's a good coach, but I'm not a fan.
I think how are we doing?
Yeah, we're working on it.
We're doing great.
Okay.
Yeah, it takes some time.
Oh well.
Apparently.
If you didn't see, he was a real baby and he was slamming the table.
We'll play for you. What's with the blackouts? I turned on the USC LSU game and it was effing blacked out.
Oh, I don't know. I just was streaming, so I...
DirecTV stream. Yeah. I had to switch to... I got so tired of this crap. Mm-hmm. I had to switch to YouTube TV.
Oh.
Like, on the spot.
Yeah. You just went over.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just... I mean, because they give you a free trial anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just was like, you know what? Because ESPN was blacked out.
Yeah.
All weekend on DirecTV stream. That's the streaming service I use.
Yeah.
Because they're fighting with Disney.
Yeah.
So then I turned to ABC to watch USC and LSU, and that damn thing's blacked out.
The thing pisses me off.
I just get so mad at that crap. Yep. I'm like, figure your S out. So I just left. I left DirecTV Stream, and now I'm with YouTube TV. And by the way, cheaper, and I'm going to go ahead and say early returns, better.
I've heard a lot of positive things about it.
Better streaming service. It's better than DirecTV Stream, I'll tell you that.
Well, I'm still working my streams to the east, so and I was up in Seattle, so I was casting everything anyway, so I didn't have...
These blackouts are annoying.
Yeah, the whole thing is just ridiculous. And people asking, when's that going to get resolved? Good luck. How about you pick a date, and then we'll both be surprised when it doesn't happen?
How about I'm not going to wait for it to get resolved?
Exactly.
How about that?
Yeah. On the plus side, most of the big games shouldn't be blacked out, because they'll be on... other networks. Although you said like there was a different pissing match going on where we had different blackouts going.
Yeah, exactly. And you just never know.
Everyone's mad at everybody. I don't know. I just thought that was... I was happy for USC. I was happy for the Big Ten.
Hey, can I say something?
And it made me happy that Brian Kelly fell on his ass again.
I love USC's uniforms. Can I just...
yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Am I allowed to proclaim that?
Absolutely.
I think the classic look that they don't change... You know, they never change it.
Nope.
Freaking cool.
So I'm looking, Penn State, USC, Alabama, I think, are the only teams that have not done any, they don't do anything. There's no weird one-offs. There's no blackouts. There's no all whites. They just like, hey, this is who we are. No names on the back of the jersey for SC and Penn State. Yeah. And there's an element to when everyone else is doing one thing to be in the team that that keeps tradition. I'm with you on that.
Okay.
By the way, also kudos to Penn State, who looked really good as well in week one.
So here's Mad Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
And we're sitting here again. We're sitting here again talking about the same things. About not finishing when you have an opponent in a position to put them away. But what we're doing on the sideline is feeling like the game's over. And I'm so angry about it that I got to do something about it. I'm not doing a good enough job as a coach. And I got to coach them better, because it's unacceptable for us not to have found a way to win this football game. It's ridiculous.
What is he talking about? At what point did LSU, anyone, I would love to be a player that was actually be able to speak my mind and be like, hey, D-head, at what point did anyone think that they had that game? Like, what, when it was 17-13 in the third quarter, is that when LSU just like, oh, we've got this one in the bag? Like, what are you, like, or when USC went up then 20-17, at that point was LSU like, oh, we have this? Like, it's just, I don't know. It's insane to me that he... That line of thinking, as if his team is a bunch of, it's just over there playing Johnny High School grab ass on the sidelines, as if they're blowing a team out and then blew a big lead. Dude, that thing was a slugfest. I watched that game. That just was just two good teams exchanging haymakers. And yet you're going to sit there and say that your team is soft and we're doing this again because you can't win close games? I don't know.
Doing it again because he's not coaching him well. And he did say.
He did say.
It's on me. But the first thing he said in there was, we're talking about the same things over and over. Well, that's on coaches, is it not?
I would assume.
Your team's
yes.
doing the same damn thing over and over. And I think he's not saying they were in control. I think he was just saying that he wants to finish better.
Well, he said it's inexcusable when you've got a team like that, basically that you have that game won and you're acting like it's not that way and you're acting like it is. From watching that game, I don't get where he thought anyone on his team thought that game was over. And like I said, they, you know, if you want to point out, they went on that 9-play drive, but USC made some stops down the stretch and got a field goal. And then USC took the ball and went 75 yards down and scored a touchdown. Again, it's a really good USC team that, I mean, you had two teams that both put together 8 and 9-play drives, and one team ended up having to settle for a field goal because a couple of nice defensive plays and the other team was able to drive it down and put in a touchdown. So when you're coming down to one or two plays on drives to end the game, and yet somehow you're making it that narrative, and maybe it's just because I don't like Brian Kelly, but boy, he just... And where'd it happen to his accent, by the way? I just find him to be one of the more unlikable guys in football, and I like when guys like that lose.
Is USC becoming likable now that they're in the Big Ten? What the hell?
People talking about them less?
You want to be likable, just play someone that really is unlikable.
Yeah, exactly.
I found myself, because you can't...
Because Miller Moss, I like Lincoln Riley. I've always have. I think he's cool. Eric, a good coach and easy to root for. And Miller Moss kind of won me over.
Yeah.
Thought he was a good kid.
Yeah. Well, and kind of waited his turn. And
he was crying there at the end.
Yeah. And, you know, he showed some signs last year at the end of the year when Caleb was done. So just keep an eye on that. That game at Michigan, who didn't look very good, all of a sudden that becomes very, very interesting in a couple of weeks.
All right, the college football week one onesie will continue later. We'll get to Notre Dame knocking off Texas A&M and Kirby Smart dominating again. But up next, it is time for In the Nuez, the heat is returning.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about...
Big time.
The movie.
The H is O.
Here is Buck, Sports Center.
In life, some days are good. And some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Hey, tomorrow we will play the backup quarterback game. We do that every year. So no brushing up, you two.
No, I feel very confident this year.
Well, that's great, but the over-under is going to be at an all-time high. So just buckle up.
All right.
So that'll be tomorrow. NFL season kicks off Thursday. We take a break from sports right now. Because it is September 3rd, 2024. It's time for In the News. I'm your noted and humble newsman. Now, exciting times. We have a new sponsor.
Damn, it's about time someone sponsored In the News.
God, no kidding.
It takes greatness to sponsor greatness.
ITN is now sponsored by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Their names are Ken and Donnie.
There's more than two of them. It's just that those would be the point people.
We call them Donnikin.
Donnikin, who are fantastic and quite fun to go out with.
They're great people.
Yes. Although I don't like the fact that I was talking to them about maybe getting into some fraudulent lawsuits, and they told me no.
Yeah, they have morals and stuff.
And I was a little disappointed. I was like, personal injury attorneys, let's go. And then it turns out, no, they have morals and standards. But other than that, big fans.
Just remember, guys, calls and consultations with Ken and Donnie at the Advocates. Always free. Always.
Plus fun just to talk to. Call him Chad.
It is National Skyscraper Day.
All right.
Hope you love your
skyscrapers.
What's your favorite skyscraper?
Boy, I don't know if I have a favorite skyscraper.
That one in Dubai is pretty cool.
Trump Tower, right? I don't know, like Sears Tower, although I don't think it's Sears anymore. I think it's like the Rogers.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a lame one.
Did you go to Tokyo Tower in Japan?
Isn't that like the most famous U.S. one? Isn't that the tallest?
Well, I don't know if it's the tallest, but Empire State Building is probably the most famous.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah. Well, what's the one building in San Francisco? It's like
the Transamerica?
Yeah, that's a cool one.
Yeah.
I like the way that looks.
Yeah. With the kind of the triangle on top there?
Yeah.
That's they call that.
Yeah, that's a cool looking one, even though I don't think it's like the tallest or anything. It's just it stands out. It's unique.
All right. It is also National Baby Back Ribs Day.
No, now we're talking. I want my baby back. Baby back ribs are great.
They really are.
I just love ribs in general, but especially baby backs. So delightful.
Had some delicious ribs at a barbecue last night. My friend Jeff made them with a homemade Polynesian sauce.
El Jefe.
Yeah.
I will say that if I'm going to a barbecue place, and this may be controversial because I know people love brisket and whatnot, I'm judging you solely based on your ribs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
If
I go to a barbecue joint and you don't have, that's the first thing I want to order is ribs. And if you're not bringing ribs, like a quality rib to the table, I'm not really interested in what else you got. I dismiss it. You got to have ribs. Otherwise, what's the point of a barbecue? What are the troops even fighting for if you're not bringing quality ribs? And you'd be amazed at how many times I think people do ribs as an afterthought at barbecue joints, and it disappoints me. It's like, what are we doing?
Yeah. Isn't it interesting how most barbecue joints, all of their meat is like, it's kind of the same. It's not like you go to a barbecue joint and it's like, oh my God, the brisket there is amazing, but the ribs suck. Mm. Or, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it seems like it's either really good or it's like, maybe this isn't my favorite place.
Yeah.
You know, all of it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Why is that? Why do you think that is, Jace?
Because some places are just better than others.
Yeah, but there's never like one thing that's great and then another thing that's not great. Right? It's all kind of along the same.
Yeah, because I think it's one of those things that if you're not doing one thing well, chances are you're not doing the others well either. It's attention to detail, which is why I judge on ribs. If you said, hey, we're going to a new barbecue place, I'm not interested in you bringing me out anything other than bring me your ribs. And if your ribs are good, to your point, chances are the rest of it's going to be good.
See, I want a tasty brisket sandwich.
Get out of here.
Maybe even pulled pork.
Get out of here. Pulled pork.
God, I love
Get out
pulled
of here
pork.
With that. What is the freaking Panthers doing?
That was a misfire on my part. That was a Tuesday misfire.
I understand. After ribs, by the way, I'm going to your burnt ends. Take that.
Happy birthday, Damon Stoudemire. He is 51 today. Does that make you feel old?
No, I actually thought he'd be older than that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that makes me feel pretty good that
he's our age.
That he's 51. Yeah, he's in our house. All right.
Still out there coaching?
Yeah, I'll take that.
New fun game. Where's he coaching now? Go.
He just took he just got a new job.
Yep, Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech.
Yeah. The Heat is coming tomorrow.
And the next handful of days, right? We got a couple hundred hundies coming?
Well, it sounds like they're forecasting 100 degrees on Thursday. Mm. And it will remain through Saturday, dropping below 90 on Sunday. Do you know what kind of winter it will be in the Pacific Northwest, according to the Farmer's Almanac?
No idea.
Why not? You don't read the Farmer's Almanac?
No, I don't. You know me, I don't really care about weather. I just wake up and I'm like, what do we got going on? I'm not a weather guy. Okay, it's fine.
The Farmer's Almanac predicts a chilly, wet winter for the Pacific Northwest. Above average precipitation is expected over the eastern third of the country, especially the Great Lakes, Ohio Valley, and Midwest. The Pacific Northwest will also have a wet winter. The Almanac's latest issue class for a wet winter whirlwind across the U.S. due to La Nina weather patterns forming in the Pacific.
Well, I'm not thrilled. I don't want a chilly, wet winter, but again, we live in Oregon. It comes with the territory. This is it. I try not to freak out about the weather too much.
Wet and cold.
Wet and cold. So basically, again, you live in the Pacific Northwest. You live in the upper left. The upper left corner, it's wet and cold. That's why you go to Mexico when you can, or get out to Hawaii and deal with it.
Freddy's, the strike is over.
Oh, thank God.
They're back at work.
Although my Freddy's never did strike, so.
Oh, they didn't?
No.
Why not?
I don't know.
What's the matter with those people?
The one by me didn't, well, I mean, it is Washington, so I don't know, maybe it's different things. But, yeah, I didn't, the one by me never was striking.
Yeah, no, they said it was both Oregon and Washington, I think.
As far as I know, the Freddy's by me kept going.
I honked at them as I drove by them.
Gave them a thumbs up.
Over the weekend, yes.
Well, the ATM did get removed from my Freddy's, and that was a bit concerning.
Maybe they stole it.
I don't know. I went in there to get cash because that's where I get cash, and there was a big hole. And I was like, well, that's... Like, whoops. So I'm hoping it comes back. Maybe the strikers took it. Maybe they're like, hey, we're not working, and good luck getting cash.
They do not have a new contract, however. They are saying that the next negotiation between Freddy's and the powers that be will be September 11th and 12th.
All right. Well, let me say this. Go workers.
Go workers.
Go workers.
Okay.
Side with the workers.
Mm-hmm.
Want them to, everyone should want your workers to do well. Because if the pandemic taught us anything, that when there's no one there to stock your shelves, when there's no one there to deliver your food, and toilet paper and whatnot, it kind of sucks. So go those guys and gals.
Go those guys.
And gals. And kids.
Well, we had a... quite a big plane crash here in our city over the weekend.
A pretty big plane crash?
Well, I think I said quite a big plane
crash.
What
is quite a big? The photo of it is kind of.
Well, the videos are nuts. Like, I mean, there's video captured of the plane going down. So this happened out in Fairview. It was trying to get to Troutdale Airport. The two people on board died. Another person. This is terrible. So it crashes into these townhomes in Fairview, out east of town, you know. Mm-hmm. And there was a 75-year-old woman sleeping that died.
That's no good.
And her husband was out at Costco.
Oh my God! So he just
came home to a plane in his house.
Hmm.
Killed her. And that, I mean, it's crazy when you see where it went down, how more people didn't die.
Yeah, I haven't seen the video. I just saw the photos, but I just pulled up I didn't see the photo of it crashing. I just saw the aftermath. There is one of it actually going into the townhome.
Well, you can, somebody is in traffic and they step out and film it, clipping the, it clips the
tree line,
the wires.
So
a bunch of people lost power and everything, but it was really wild. Now they're saying that was a test flight.
That did not go well, I'm guessing.
In other words, you're guessing it didn't go well?
Guessing.
Pretty good guess.
Thank you. I do what I can.
What on earth could that have been based off of?
Guessing the big plume of smoke. But yeah, I had not heard that either, that my man just comes back from Costco.
Yeah.
And it's like the burbs. It's like his neighbor's like, hey, dude, your house is on fire.
No good.
And it turns out your wife was inside?
No good.
No, that's all bad.
A doorbell camera captured the plane going down, igniting multiple townhomes on fire.
It is kind of amazing when you see the aftermath that it was just the two people on the plane and then, unfortunately, the lady inside the one townhome.
Well, that's what I just said.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Like, it's crazy only three people died when just a dense neighborhood like that.
Yeah. There's a couple of other homes caught on fire, but
yeah. So they said it was like a maintenance test flight. So that, like, why would you? I don't know. I mean, you're a pilot. They're like, hey, we're not really sure if this plane works. Why don't you just take it up to make sure or see? You know, like, why are you taking that flight? I don't want to take that flight.
No,
what's going on with these people?
But someone has to, right? I mean,
I guess
something's gonna happen. You gotta. You know, it's going to happen out there, right? How do you know unless you're out there? And those people, I'm guessing like those test pilots, I mean, it's kind of what they do. I'm guessing that they get paid well and there's an inherent risk to it.
Well, hopefully they get paid more.
Yeah. This guy says, Vancouver Fort Text line, buddy of mine lives about 1,000 feet from that plane crash. Scared the S out of him. I don't blame you.
Well, yeah, they said it sounded like a freaking tornado went through there.
Yikes.
Just the sound of it and debris everywhere. Whew. We have audio, but Buck is once again asleep at the wheel over there. So we'll have to wait for that. Drug possession, officially a crime in Oregon again.
Hey, it's back.
That's next on The Fan. All right, Hot 5 at 5 is a mere moments away. Like 10 minutes or so. Maybe even longer. Because we'll goof off, you know.
Probably.
You know how it goes. But this is in the news, September 3rd, 2024. Can you believe that? September.
I know.
Can you believe
and
that?
And yet it's going to be 100 degrees tomorrow.
But Thursday.
Well, yeah,
maybe in the 90s tomorrow.
It's kind of impressive.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, 100 degree day in September? What the hell, man? Thought I turned off my sprinklers for the year. Wrong. They're back.
Drug possession becomes a crime again in Oregon.
Yeah. What idiot thought it was a good idea to decriminalize it? Oh, wait.
Damn libs.
Whoops. That was me. Turns
out you were all for it.
I was.
You moron.
Well, turns out I was wrong. I can admit that one. Turned out it didn't work. Well, some people have a great time on drugs and other people can't handle them. Turns out more people can't handle them. So,
understand. Well, talks are ongoing as to how this will all now be enforced in downtown Portland, but it went into effect again September 1st.
Isn't that the truth for everything? Like, we have these ideas. We're like, okay, we got a problem. It's not going well. We got to fix it. And then as soon as we try to pass something that helps it, then we get another group of people that's like, no, you can't do that.
Well, so the decriminalization thing, if I remember right, a lot of that was not about the idea. It was about the execution of the idea.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because then they had a thing in there where you had to call a number and go to rehab or something, and then no one would answer the phone or
something like that.
They just
yes.
didn't execute it yes. right. It could have worked maybe, but
at the same time, like, I get it. I was under the impression of, I think it's ridiculous that people go into jail for drugs. But at the same time, you can't go down to Pioneer Courthouse Square and have a bunch of people smoking meth and shooting up heroin, like, on the steps.
Yeah, while, Buck.
You know, that's...
Looking right at you, buddy.
You know, so, I admit it. It was wrong. It didn't work. And Whoa. It's a massive problem. And so, we got to start, you know, start doing something about it. And if it gets those people off the street with a little bit and forces them into some programs and getting some help, I'm not saying to jail people forever, but... You can't just have this, again, it goes back to my biggest problem. It's like, well, I'm homeless and I'm on a hard time, so I can do whatever the hell I want. No. We all have to live by some sort of rules and regulation. Otherwise, everything crumbles. So start holding some of these people accountable to the same things that the rest of us are supposed to be.
According to Portland police, if officers catch someone in possession of hard drugs, they will put them in handcuffs and check to see if they have any outstanding warrants or immediate medical issues, among other things. If those checks are clear, drug users may be offered what's called deflection. This is a word that they're tossing around now, which is the option of treatment over jail. That's what that's what they were trying to do in the first place.
You would hope so, except this time maybe it kind of forces you into that. So,
well, and they're saying that. So I saw an interview with a couple of the bros that are on the deflection team, and they're saying that right now there's just not a lot of locations to take people to.
Yeah.
So they can. I think they arrested 4 this weekend, and 2 chose deflection. But then they were like, "Well,
nothing we can do.
So, where do we take them?
So did we put them in jail? And
no, they. I think there was eventually a place to take them. But okay. You know, as the numbers rise, they're going to need to address.
Sure. Well, and again,
where
and
that, they go.
And that's on us for not being jackasses and actually having ways to implement policies that make sense. So.
Yeah, put him in jail. Yee-hoo!
You know, I don't want anyone to go to jail that doesn't deserve it. But at the same time, again, can't we all agree that what we've been doing in the open drug use, not a good thing. Kills businesses downtown. No one wants to come. We can't have it. Can't be doing it. So I applaud the fact that we're actually trying to turn the boat around and head back in the wrong direction. And
direction?
We're trying to turn around from the wrong direction.
Oh.
And we're trying to do things. That maybe point us in the right direction.
Finally, Jace, this comes to us from Vancouver, where you live.
Yes.
You know, they started laying the groundwork for this in 1993.
It's a long time.
And it is just now coming to fruition.
Nothing says, I'm hoping this involves the local government, because that...
Is, oh, it does.
That speaks perfectly to how we get things done.
Main Street Promise... will spend $21 million to overhaul Main Street in downtown Vancouver from 5th to 15th Streets. It took 30 years to get to this point as they began planning for reconstruction of Main Street in 1993, but budget constraints led to false starts.
1993?
Yes.
Good grief.
You think Portland's bad?
Yeah.
I give you Vancouver.
Look at us. Who would have thought we'd be here? Not me.
Efforts to revitalize downtown date back even further with the study plan in 1961, yikes. Operation Facelift in 1966, and Project Go in 1971. Of course, you always have to name these.
Yeah, well, it's like Jumptown, right? That's
Gotta have a catchy name.
Exactly.
Today, Vancouver's new waterfront has stolen the spotlight. Downtown boosters, however, hold out hope that the energy will spread to Main Street, given its storied history.
What are they... What are they doing on Main Street?
$21 million doesn't seem like a whole lot in the grand scheme of things.
So I'm just like...
Maybe a little facelift?
There's a new Seasons that just opened down there. I mean...
Is that exciting people down there? Is everybody talking about that in Vancouver?
I was riding down there a couple weeks ago, and I stopped in the morning and got a lovely croissant sandwich from the hot bar. There's that.
All right.
I mean, I just don't know what... Is this just like beautifying it? Like...
Spicing it up? I don't know. Like, it doesn't say on this story. Okay. The Colombian doesn't even know.
No.
And if they don't know.
This is like Jumptown where we're just going to... I'm assuming some new sidewalks, maybe some new plants.
Right.
Some street lights, just kind of spruce it up a little.
Good lighting is always important, as you mentioned.
Well, Detroit did that.
Detroit, yeah.
Yeah, Detroit did that. Their whole thing was, we're just going to light the city up at night because less crime happens.
You won't shoot me if there's lights.
No. I just don't know what you can do.
You might shoot up.
I don't know what you can do for $21 million, but...
Right in the butt.
I'm all for it.
So there you go. Right. That's coming to
Vancouver. The new waterfront is nice down there. They did a great job.
Yeah. I like it.
Look at you.
I mean, it's... I don't know. It's good.
They did a nice job.
Yeah, they did, but it doesn't really pull you in unless you're, like, right there, you know?
Dude, it's pretty busy. Like,
oh, I know it's busy. There's a lot of people up there.
People like to go down there.
Yeah. I'm not saying they're not. I'm just saying it's just like when you're down in Portland, it's like,
yeah.
But if you're up in Vancouver, it's like a good place to stop and have a bite or something, but it's not really like,
it's not luring.
I'd like to see the numbers of how many people from Portland are actually just getting in their cars and going up there.
That I don't know, but I would tell you that for a lot of people in Vancouver.
Oh, yeah.
It is
much needed.
Yes, and they don't feel like now they have to go over into Portland to get to nicer restaurants and
yeah, kind stupid of Portland.
So, yeah, I still go into Portland a lot. I like Portland, but the downtown scene for a lot of people that has been a blessing.
In the news is brought to you by our new fun sponsor, the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Coming up next. Oh, we're at the Hot 5 at 5, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
We sure are. And then we'll check in on Florida State fans, see how they're doing.
Yeah, we need a check.
Coming up. All right, it's Isaac and Souk. We'll be right back on The Fan.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.